So I told you guys tonight was going to be a little bit different. And what I want to do tonight, as I mentioned, is kind of get an insight into where you guys are at and some things that you guys have learned. And so as I told you, we're going to have Nate and Isaac. They're going to be, they have a couple mics. What we're going to do is throughout, as I ask you guys some questions, what I kind of want to have here tonight instead of a Bible study is a Bible discussion. And I want to know some things that you guys have learned as we've talked about what our identity in Christ is and some ways that you guys have grown, maybe even a question or two that you have. If I'm not able to answer it, I'd love to look into it for you. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. But I thought a great way to start it off would to be to start with this question. What is something that excites you? What's something that you just love to do? What is it, Sarai? Eat chocolate. Very good.
Fly.
Nice. Yeah, Angelina. Play sports. Okay. Jump off of 50-foot scaffolding. 15. Okay. It's a little less scary, but still a little frightening. Eat ketchup Twinkies. Hey, Isaac, you got a good one today.
Drink
a well-carbonated drink as opposed to a not carbonated drink. Okay, very good. Arthur, winning baseball games, good. Yeah, sleeping, very good. Invent and create. We got an Einstein over here. Very nice, that's cool. All right, so let me tell you a few things I get excited about, all right? First of all, I was thinking of some exciting times in my life. I have a very fond memory of maybe some of you guys were there when we went on our guys' camping trip last year. And I know some of you guys were there. But one thing that we did and one thing that I kind of like and I know you guys love are glow sticks or anything that glows in the dark. All right. And I know that because Galactic Bowling, like, everybody wants a glow-in-the-dark shirt, you know? So I know that we all love stuff that glows in the dark, but one of my fond memories about that guy's camping trip is somebody broke out glow sticks, and everybody, they passed them out. So what we started doing was we figured out that you were able to break the glow sticks and squirt all the glow stuff all over you, okay? So here we are in the middle of the forest, and we're breaking glow sticks and flinging it all over each other. All of a sudden, there's like 10, 15 glowing crazy guys running around the forest. And I don't know. It was pretty crazy. And it was quite exciting and frightening at the same time. But I remember that as one of like a very exciting time in my life that I got to witness that. I always thought if you got that stuff on, you'd probably die or something. I don't know. But nobody died, thankfully, but it was a very exciting night. Another thing I get excited about, like somebody said, eating chocolate, I like food in general, any kind of food. You give it to me and I'll probably eat it, unless it's horseradish inside a Twinkie, and then I'm probably not going to enjoy it too much or get too excited about it, unless I get to shove it in Isaac's face, and then I might like that. I don't know. That would be pretty exciting. Another exciting time, just a couple days ago on Monday, I went with some friends. And we went to this place, you might have heard of it, called Wolf Creek, Colorado. And it was crazy. I didn't exactly know what to expect, but we got out there. And I don't know if you guys have seen this stuff. It's called snow. Have you guys ever seen this stuff? I didn't even know what to think. You're right. We had some here, huh? I think it was the first time ever or something in New Mexico. But they had, okay, overnight, we're driving there. We left here from the church at 4:30 in the morning so we could get out there on time. And we're driving, and I call the Wolf Creek Ski Line. They got 17 inches of snow just overnight. And since Tuesday, they had something like 80 inches of snow, okay? By the time we got there, they had about 7.5 feet of snow, okay? So if you can imagine me standing up, it's about a foot taller than me of snow. That's how much snow these people had. So I was stoked out of my mind. And I started riding down this mountain, and it was like nothing I had ever experienced before. It snowed all day. I did happen to get buried a couple times in the snow. But it was really exciting. And I I was like a giddy little girl in the truck, okay? Let me tell you why. I was leaving Sunday night before we were ready to leave the next morning. I was leaving my house coming to our prayer service that we were having here, and I turned it on right in time to hear the snow report on the radio. So I'm listening to the radio and they're saying, yeah, Angel Fire got 15 inches, Santa Fe got 20 inches. I'm like, man, that's pretty good for New Mexico. And then the guy was like, but hold on, Colorado is where the snow's at. So I was like, sweet, I'm going there tomorrow. I wonder what it's at. He said, Purgatory, 33 inches. And then he said, ladies and gentlemen, Wolf Creek, 50 inches. And this is what I did. I was all by myself in the truck. I went like this, oh. Like that, I just got really excited, like a giddy little girl, like the morning before Christmas, you know? I just went like this, oh, like I got chills all down my spine because I was so excited. So I was thinking about that, you know? We have some exciting things happen in our lives. But then I was thinking about what we're learning tonight, what we've been learning on Wednesday nights, and how exciting it is that our identity is found in Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me tell you how exciting this is. How cool this is that we have our identity in Christ. He, the creator of the universe, the one who loved us, gave everything for us, our Savior, the God, the creator of the universe, identified himself with us. Sinners. People who are guilty of killing Jesus on the cross. He came to the earth so that we could be identified with him. He knew that the only way we could ever make it to heaven was if we identified ourselves with him. Okay? So maybe you guys can think of some things that are exciting. Those things are really exciting for me. How about this? I know middle schoolers love to win stuff. Anybody like to win stuff? Okay. I got a cool prize for the first person. It's not under your chairs. It's not on your bulletins. The first person who can give me all 8 identities of Christ, or in Christ, in order. The first person who can do it. I've been quizzing you guys each week. Can you do it, Jordan? In order? No? Last week. Do you remember it? You're really good. You can't get it? Okay, who's got it? Can anybody get all 8? I'll give it to you. Partakers of his promise. Give it up for Morgan. Come on up here, Morgan. I have $25 scholarship to the weekend, all right? So if you've already paid, give it to somebody that needs it, all right? Not right now. Everybody put their hands down. Morgan just made 50 friends. Okay, put that in your Bible, Morgan. That's a valuable thing. But you can put whoever's name on there, all right? Awesome. So some things we can get excited about. Now, you guys may have been there when we first started the series, learning about our identity in Christ, and we defined what identity was all about. Okay, that's what I want to do right here. Look at this definition of identity. It's the set of behavioral or personal characteristics by which an individual is recognizable as a member of a group. So what does that mean for us? We've gone through the last few weeks learning 8 different characteristics or things that should characterize our lives, as Morgan just named out, that as we begin to live this way, and as our lives begin to take on these characteristics, we begin to identify ourselves with a certain group, or a leader, or a person. And of course, that group would be the body of Christ, or Christians. And of course, our leader is Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want you guys to think about your life. As we are about to get into our discussion here tonight, I want you guys to think about if your life, if someone looked at your life, they would identify you with Jesus Christ. Think about the way that you're living. Think about how you behave at school, or at home, or in public with your friends, at the mall, when you hang out, when you go play football with friends. What are the ways that you behave? And do they identify you with Jesus Christ? If someone were to look at your life, could they begin to pick out characteristics and say, that person is obviously a Christian? That person is obviously a follower of Christ. If not, then you have some areas for growth. And guaranteed, all of us do. All of us have some area in our life that we could get better at. And that's our challenge tonight. Towards the end, we're going to end the night with worship, some prayer, and we're going to have leaders available at the end of the night. And if you guys at any point throughout the night are thinking of something, you know what, maybe I'm not living up to that. Or you're thinking of something, God is speaking to you and you're saying, man, I don't know if my life really characterizes the follower of Christ. When someone looks at me, I don't know if they would really think I'm a Christian. It's time to get that right. We'll give you a chance to do that tonight, okay? So, as I said, over the past 8 weeks, we've been learning these 8 identification markers of the follower of Christ. So what we're going to do is go through each one. We're going to flip all throughout the New Testament in your Bible. So get ready to flip all around. In fact, you can go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8 for our first one, which is more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 8, once you get there, verse 37. We'll learn what this is all about, and then I want you guys to get ready to begin voicing your opinions, maybe some questions that you have, some insight that you have, maybe some things that you remember from when we talked about this, and what it means that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So, what does it mean? Let me ask you guys this. What does it mean that we are more than conquerors? And maybe another question, who is it that we're trying to conquer? Or what is it that we're trying to conquer? Who is it or what is it that we're trying to conquer? Right here. He's got it.
Is it our sins?
Sins. Very good. So we're trying to conquer our sins. How are we trying to conquer our sins? Or what is a way to do that? Can you guys think of a way to conquer our sins? Gerald.
To live through Christ.
To live through Christ. Okay, give me an example of what it is to live through Christ. You know, we have all these answers like, oh, well, we need to conquer this and this is how we do it. But what are some practical ways that every day we can live as conquerors, more than conquerors, through Jesus Christ? What are some ways we can do that?
Read the Bible every day.
Okay, read the Bible. And what does the Bible do for us? You got one? Okay, what else?
You could pray every day.
Pray every day, good. What are all those things? Why pray? Why read the Bible? What's good about those things?
It helps you learn about God.
Very good. God speaks to us through it, and we speak to God through it. Very good. What else, Philly?
By reading the Bible and praying every day, it acknowledges God that we love Him.
Very good. Taking some time out of your day to do that. Very good. So more than conquerors. So what are the ways, let's put this on a practical level, on a day-to-day basis, here we are more than conquerors. And as he said, that our job is to go out in there and conquer sin. And we said that we do that by reading the Bible or praying. Those are all good things. Devoting part of our day to him. But what are some practical ways that you guys can do that? When you're at school or you're at home or something like that, what are some practical ways that you can act out being more than conquerors?
Not cuss.
Not cuss. That's good. That's a big temptation in school. What else? Back here. Right here in front.
Control your temper.
Control your temper. Anybody got temper problems? Anybody? Yeah, that's always an issue, right? But that is a great way. Conquer your anger. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. It's okay to be angry. Jesus was angry at sin. God hates sin. However, it's the way you react with that anger. So we need to be thinking about how we can be more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Okay, let's go on to our next one. If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Our second identity is one body. We are one body. Romans chapter 12. We'll look at verse 5 here in just a minute. Now, I learned a pretty big lesson about how body parts work together while I was at Wolf Creek. Okay, I told you that there was a couple times that I got buried in snow. You can imagine, there must be a lot of snow for some 6 foot crazy man to get buried in it. Okay, in fact, there was even a couple times we were riding up the lift and I saw one guy buried in so much snow, all I could see was his head. There was so much snow. Okay, so, but I learned a lot about that because here I am. It was my first run. I was going up the hill with Nick. And we got off the lift, and I said, okay, Nick, you've only been a few times. I think this was his fourth time going. And I said, Nick, I'm hanging with you. I'll follow you. And he says, sweet. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I would have pictured that on his first run, he would have gone down a blue, maybe a green. He bombs a double black diamond, okay? And I was like, Nick, you're crazy. But I guess if that's what you want to do, I'll do it, right? So I go flying after him. I hit this lip and I do like a grab off of it. Boom, land right in a whole bunch of powder in the snow. So I'm not used to this. Used to, you know, in Angel Fire, if you guys went, you land really hard and it's ice and you get right back up. Not here, okay? When there's 7.5 feet of snow, you push down and you're just pushing further into the snow. There's no hard ground beneath you. It's very hard to dig yourself out. So here I am. I'm just trying to like frantic. I got my board strapped onto my feet and my body is working trying to get myself out of there. But it was interesting how my whole body worked to get myself out. Okay. It was mainly my feet that were completely covered in snow. Now my body, I guess, could have been like, hey, feet, you better get yourself out of there. You know, I mean, we're not going anywhere until you are. So you better start working with that. And that wouldn't have been too cool if my feet had to do all the work to dig me out, right? But my whole body started working together. My arms started flailing and I was like I was swimming, you know, trying to get myself out of all that snow. My heart is now beating faster. My lungs are breathing harder. All of these things. My legs are kicking. My muscles are aching. I'm trying, hey, Nick, wait up. You know, I'm yelling and waving and all parts of my body are in use. And I thought about that because the body of Christ works together. And I want to ask you guys, what are some ways that we can do that? But first, let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 5. It says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, maybe your Bible has these little headings here. Mine says, serve God with spiritual gifts. So what are some ways that we can work as individual members of the body to help each other out? Can you guys think of some ways that as Christians we are individual members of the body of Christ? Rebecca.
We can be like in a group, like a sport, and we could spread the word and get more people to work together to spread the word.
Very good. Very good. Great way to do it. What else are some other ways, maybe some gifts that we have or some ways that we can help work together as the body of Christ?
If, like, two people work together, they can conquer each other's sins if they're having trouble.
Very good. Accountability. That's awesome. You know what? And actually, speaking on that note, I had one guy tell me something real cool this week. Thought it was real cool. Maybe some of you guys have seen The Passion of the Christ. And he said that one of the biggest parts that stood out to him was the part where Jesus was carrying his cross up the hill to Mount Calvary, okay? You guys may remember that part. But what the big deal was to this guy that I was talking to was he said, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, you guys may remember this part, he's lugging that huge cross, he's been whipped and beaten and mocked and spit on, and Jesus Christ can't make it up the hill all the way by himself. You guys may remember they asked another guy to help carry the cross with Jesus. If God in human flesh could not bear his own cross on his own, how much more do we need help, right? Man, we really need it. Jared, that's a great point. Accountability is very important. That's why we do momentum. So you guys can be surrounded with people your age that are dealing with some of the same issues. What are some other ways?
Like on the Mexico missions, we need to work as a team to help build a house.
Very good. Building a house on the Mexico trip, that's exactly it. And even here in Albuquerque, there's other ways that we can all work together as a team. What are some other ways? Gerald?
We can pray for each other.
Pray for each other. Very good. That kind of goes along with accountability.
If we all work together, we'll all be able to conquer the devil. But if we try to go our own ways, the devil, it'll be easier for him to try and conquer us.
Absolutely. The more of us we got together, man, God can do some amazing things through that. Very good.
We can use our different talents to help lift each other up. Like if one person is struggling in one aspect and you know you can help them in that problem, you can go and say, like, let me help you. I can help get you through this.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So we can use our different gifts. What are some gifts that you guys know that we've been given that we can use? Can you guys think of some things that we've been given? How about right down here, Seth?
Skating.
Okay, how can you use that for the glory of God, Seth?
Like to witness to people and stuff. Okay. Like go on tour and like witness to people.
So that's a way you could use skating? That's awesome. Very good. So you've been given a gift. What else?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Okay. What's a way you could use knowledge?
So like just be able to read the Bible.
Okay. Very good. Okay. What are some other ways? What are some other gifts that we've been given that we can use?
Well, we do dance with Calvary and we go out and like do a dance and a message and stuff. Like,
awesome. Very cool. Kind of draw people in through that and then give them the gospel, huh? That's very cool. What else?
Sing and like be a part of worship.
Very good. Sing, especially if you're good at it, because I'm not. That's really good. How about Marissa in the back? We'll get there in just a minute. Lauren, what about you? What's a way?
Patience.
That's very good. Marissa?
Like our social skills in 421.
Very good. Yeah, making like, people feel welcome. Yeah. Exactly. So we could go on and on about that. As you guys can tell, there's lots of different ways that we can work together as the body of Christ, as one body. All right. So in your Bibles, flip a few chapters to the right to the book of Ephesians, real small book. We're going to look at chapter 2 in just a minute. Our third identification in Christ is that we are alive in Christ. Alive. And you guys know in the world that we live in, people are searching for life everywhere. They're trying to find it in friends, drugs. People are just drowning themselves looking for life when actually they're killing themselves in the process. So we are alive in Christ. It's only through Christ that we find true life. What are some ways that God has given us new life? Can you guys think about that? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Can you guys think of some ways that God has made us alive? Or maybe even some things that are amazing about that. The fact that in Christ we are alive. Can you think of something?
Us.
Okay, he's made us alive. Very good. Very good. What else?
That he speaks to us.
He speaks to us. Very good. What else?
Other people.
Okay, he's made other people alive. Okay, as long as they've accepted Christ, right? Exactly. What else?
He's accepted us to be his servant. Like.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's really cool because it says there in verse 5 what we just read, we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses. How amazing is that, that we are now alive in Christ? Jackie, what about you? Hold on just a minute. He'll come bring the mic to you.
We're alive in Christ when we try witnessing to other people for him.
Very good. Showing other people that the life that God has given us. Okay. What else? Why don't we hear from Eric?
When we're born again.
Okay. He completely redoes us, right? Redoes us. Redoes us. That was really... My dad would have slapped me for that one. Rebecca.
It's amazing that we're alive in Christ because without him we'd be dead and we'd have an empty space in our heart.
Exactly. I've heard it said before that in everybody's heart there's a God-shaped hole. Only God can fill that hole. Have you guys ever seen that little kids game where you got to fit like a triangle in the triangle part and the circle in the circle part? Have you ever tried to put the circle in the triangle? Doesn't work, right? Yeah, we get so frustrated, like jamming that thing. Why doesn't it work? You know, because there's only one thing that can fill that hole, and that's the same with us. If People are looking for it and searching for it. It's only God that can fill it. We'll take one more. Jared?
For people to live, they thrive on things. If we're alive in Christ, we can thrive on Him by reading the Bible and praying if we're going through a problem.
That's awesome. Very good. Very good answer. So we are alive in Christ. It's only in Jesus Christ that we experience true life. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, you may think you're alive, but it's not going to last for long. You may be alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. To really experience life, it's only through Christ. Okay, go ahead and flip to 2 Corinthians. It's the book right before, actually two books right before Ephesians, to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 will be in there for the next couple. We are triumphant in Christ. What does that mean? Can you guys think of what it means to be triumphant? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're there, look at verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." So we are triumphant in Christ. I think it's so cool that it says He leads us in triumph. Why is that? What's important about that? Because we're following Christ, right? We're not leading the parade of victory. Of triumph, it's Jesus Christ who's ahead. Why do you think Jesus is ahead?
Because He gave us the power to be triumphant.
Exactly. He is the one who won. He is the triumphant one. And as we follow Him, we are also triumphant. Jared?
Like, we could never be victorious without Christ. So, like, some people may think, well, I can do this without Him. They can't be victorious without knowing Him and knowing the Word.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, and I think this kind of ties in, too, with being more than conquerors. What do you guys think some ways on a daily basis are that you can be triumphant in your life? We talked about conquering sin and going out there and resisting temptation. What are some ways, Soraya?
When we're fighting with someone, He helps us win our battles.
Okay. Okay. Maybe especially spiritually, right? He's not always going to, like, make you really strong so you can punch someone. Because he wants us to be a peacemaker. And so maybe a way that He gives us triumph is by helping us to triumph over our anger. Marissa?
Well, like, if we pray and, like, give Him, like, everything we have His favor. So, like, in the end, God's in control. And you know that if you gave your life to Christ that, you know, you're going to heaven and God is in control no matter what.
Very good. You got nothing to worry about. What else, Rebecca?
God helps us to be triumphant by giving us strength to keep running in a race, to leading us to Him so that we could keep following Him.
Awesome. Very good. All good ways that He's made us triumphant. Last one. Melanie?
When sometimes we think that we failed when we try to minister to someone else, and we can know that we're triumphant in Christ because we did share.
Yeah.
So even though we feel like we've lost the battle because they haven't come to Christ yet, we can know that we're triumphant because they know the Word.
That's exactly it. And as long as you do your part, that's all that matters. Very good. Okay, turn a few pages to the right, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Our next ID is that we are new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Does anybody know the meaning of that word all? Means everything, right? Absolutely everything. And I liked what somebody said, we have become reborn or born again. It's kind of the Christian word for having a new life. God completely recreated us. What do you guys think a way that every day you can begin to see that you're a new creation? What are some ways that God completely recreates us? Helps us maybe even to think on a new level, to act on a new level? Can you guys think of some ways that God does that?
I know because of my own personal life. Before I met Christ, I was always like this person who is always fighting with everybody. And then after I become a Christian, I found more peace in my life, I guess.
That's awesome. Very good. Man, that's what I pray for every day. Very cool. What else are some ways that you guys can see in your own lives or maybe in other people's lives that they are a new creation in Christ? Vanessa.
Like in my own life, before I met Christ, I had a lot of hatred towards my family, and I always used to say hate a lot, but now that I know Christ and stuff, he made me a new creation. Now I love my family, and I now, yeah.
That's great. Very good. Amy?
If you're a Christian, God will just speak to you, and he'll show you how things have changed between somebody, and they'll also just act in a different way.
Very cool. Good. What else?
You begin to find yourself. Things that used to confuse you become clearer.
Awesome, because God just opens your mind to him, right? Very good. What do you guys think? Oh, go ahead.
Before I accepted Christ, there was a lot of hurt from my family and from other people in my life, and he just kind of healed me.
Good, very good. Now, of course, you guys know following Christ isn't always easy. Some people will make fun of you or mock you, or life is going to be hard, but you can always trust that God's there. Very good. So we're new creations in Christ. And the good thing is that when we look back at our life and we see all the sin in our past, man, I've been through some terrible things. I made some bad choices, some mistakes in my life. I've been through some hard days and months and years of my life. But God can use all those things. And when he makes us a new creation, we can look back on those things and say, hey, check this out. I know where you're at because I've been there. But God has completely taken me through it. And here's what he showed me. And you can use those terrible things that you dealt with to share with other people. All right, let's go on to our next one. ID number 6 is in the book of Galatians, which is the next book over to the right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Now, this is not excluding the ladies in the house, sons of God. But basically, we know the general meaning of that is that we are children of God. Children of God. So let's read it that way. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all children or sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Why do you guys think it's so important that we are God's own children? Why is that such a big deal? I mean, is it really a big deal? Jordan?
He looks at us like we're perfect because his son was perfect. And he just kind of, it seems like he looks at us as if we're
one of his own, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. So in Christ, God looks at us, and although we're sinners, although we still make mistakes, when we accept Christ, all that sin has been washed away. God sees us as perfect through him. Rebecca?
If we were children of God, we'd probably be children of Satan.
Okay, exactly. We used to be children of Satan, and now we're children of God. That's a pretty amazing thing. Gerald?
To me, it's a big deal because the fact that my God, my Savior, would come down and die on the cross for me so that I could go to heaven forever with him is unfathomable because it's just so eternal love and it just makes me feel really, really like I'm not alone.
Isn't it incredible? Man, it's so cool. What else?
If we were the children of God, then he would use us for anything that he needed. Yeah. If we weren't the children of God, then he couldn't use us for things he needed.
Yeah, very good. We're servants of God. We're tools of God. Exactly. What else?
When he looks at us, he sees that we're perfect because we're made in the image of God.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you guys may remember when I taught on this, I taught on that same thing that God sees us through Jesus. You guys may remember my Jesus sunglasses. You guys remember those things? And I put those shades on, had pictures of Jesus right there. And I looked at you guys and you were all perfect. It was amazing, you know? Because that's the same way. When God sees us through Jesus, it's like looking through Jesus glasses. We're perfect in God's sight. Let's get one more. Did somebody have one? Marissa, one more in the back.
Because, like, when you see your parents' love for you, like, their love never fails no matter what you do. So, like, God loves us with an agape love that never fails.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's cool about that is that sometimes we have hard lives at home, you know. Sometimes parents don't love us the way that they should. Praise God for parents who do. But sometimes there's parents that don't love us the way that they do, the way that they should. You know what it says in Psalms? I love this. It says, when my mother and father forsake me, God will take care of me. Isn't that cool? We are God's children. ID number 7 is in the book of Ephesians, to the right of Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. So let's look at what it means. You guys remember we talked about the fact that we are a work in progress. That God is working on us constantly. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What do you guys think some ways are that God works on us every day? Can you guys think of that? It's kind of like we're a car in the repair shop. What's some ways God repairs us?
We begin to shape into better people and better Christians.
Exactly. Very good. And one of my favorite things about the way God works on us is that there's lots of times that he puts things in our lives that we don't quite understand, you know? But it's so cool that all of them fit together. Jared?
Like, on the screen it shows a puzzle. We are like a puzzle with unfinished pieces. Those missing pieces are parts of our lives that need to be fixed. So when those pieces are put in, it fills in that part of our life that's messed up.
That's so that awesome. That's exactly it. Very good answer. In fact, you guys may remember when I taught on this, I had that game Mousetrap up here. You guys may remember that. And I took that thing apart and I was like, how in the world would this all come together? You know, you got like these two little ball bearings. You got some crazy green guy that does backflips. You got weird little contraptions and cheese slices and mice. But as you put all of those together and as you play by the rules and you follow the directions, every piece has its place. And by the end, there's a winner. And you go about the right way, and there's a purpose for it all. And that's how Jen beat me in that game, and I wasn't very happy about that.
Like if we have wounds that are like unhealed, that he heals it for us and stuff?
Very good. Very good. We're his workmanship.
Things that are unfinished in our lives, like if we have problems with lying and stuff, he's like chiseling away at our problems, and every time he finishes chiseling away at one thing, then we see something completely new, and he starts chiseling away at that.
Yeah, he starts working on that. Very good. Philly?
He's like the puzzle piece that completes our puzzle.
Awesome.
Like the big, giant piece that just goes like right in the middle.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Last one, Marcus.
Okay, it says that like we're his workmanship, and I think that's really cool that we were created by the same God that created the universe and like everything that we can see.
Yeah, the trees outside, the animals, the air that we breathe. God created all of that, and he created us. All right, let's go to our last one here, ID number 8, partakers of his promise. That's just in the next chapter of Ephesians over, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. We learned this last week. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. What are some amazing promises that God has given us? And what do you guys think it's so cool about the fact that we can always trust in God's promises? What are some promises?
That he's always there for us.
Okay, what else?
Eternal life.
Eternal life, very good. What else?
I was thinking the same thing, eternal life.
Very good. Double eternal life, nice. What else, Eric?
Happy eternal life in heaven.
Very good. Triple eternal life.
The fact that he's coming back and that we know he's coming and we can be ready for that.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. What else?
That he'll always love us.
Always. Exactly. That's the key word in there. Never quits loving us. Gabe?
Everlasting peace.
Everlasting peace. Very good.
We'll never flood the earth again.
Never flood the earth. That's exactly right. Every time you see a rainbow, that's a reminder of God's promise.
If like, he promised us never to go to hell if we accept him as our Savior.
Yeah, exactly. We can have reassurance that we're going to heaven. Silas.
He promises to always forgive us if we ask him.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's one of my favorites because I always have to ask for forgiveness. So I'm always making mistakes. Jordan?
Not saying this is a good thing, but he always gives us a choice.
That's true. Very, very good point. He always gives us a choice. And Jordan, why do you think that that's not always a good thing?
Because we can choose the right way or the wrong way.
Exactly. And unfortunately, sometimes we choose the wrong way. Very good. Well, you guys have been very good. Give yourselves a hand. That was a great discussion. But let me just bring something up to you real quick as we close. We're going to close with a song here in a minute. But I read somewhere that in the United States, there are 2 credit cards for every person that lives in the United States. Okay? So we got millions of people who live here, and there's double that in how many credit cards. Why do I bring that up? Because identity theft happens all the time. People steal their credit card, someone else's credit card information, or their birth certificate or their social security number. And by doing that, they begin to purchase things in someone else's name. They steal their identity. And I also read that over half of the identity theft that happens, the people who steal the other person's identity are some of their closest friends, family members, and often their spouse, their wife or their husband. Can you imagine that? Sad, huh? That's the world we live in. People are just so greedy. But what I got to thinking about was the fact that sometimes Satan disguises himself as one of our friends. He wants us to think that we can trust him, that we can live for him, and it's going to be fun and worth it and great, but it's not. And by disguising himself, Satan would love to steal our identity. And every day we need to recognize that who we are in Jesus Christ, that we are a body, we are alive, we have been given gifts to use for Christ. We've gone through all those 8 things, and there's even more that we are in Christ. But every day we should recognize those things. Because here's what I want you to remember. The knowledge of who you are in Christ arms you for battle. We're going to put a couple scriptures up here on the screen for you. Let me give you an example here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And it goes on to talk about how we can be armed, or we can take up our weapons knowing that Christ has suffered for us. By doing that, we don't have to live in our sin anymore. Here's another one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." In other words, grace and peace are only found when you truly know who Jesus Christ is and when you know who you are in that. The very next verse, verse 3, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." And how do we get them? "Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Look at verse 8 in that same chapter. "For if these things are yours and abound," speaking of love and virtue and knowledge, "you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In fact, he goes on then in the next few verses in that chapter, talking about how important it is to remind ourselves of that. So important that Peter says, "Even after I die, I'm going to make sure you guys have a daily reminder of that." I think it's so cool that Peter wanted those people to know. And the very letter that he was writing went on to be a reminder to the whole human race of those things that we need to have in our lives and our position in Christ. So we've talked about how incredible it is that we are in Christ and who we are in Christ. But let me just show you the flip side. I want to give you an opportunity in just a minute to talk to a leader if you need someone to talk to or pray with. We're going to close here with a song in just a minute reminding us of who we are in Christ. But I want you guys to know that apart from Christ, we are really the opposite of the things that we talked about tonight, okay? Without Christ, we're less than conquerors. We're not more than conquerors. We're not a body. We're not even related to anybody. We're on our own. We're dead. We're losers. We're used up. We're useless apart from Christ. We're not related to God at all. We're not even a part of his family. God's not working on us. He's trying, but we're not allowing him to. And we have no promises to stand on. Isn't that a terrible place to be? I hope no one in this room finds himself in that place tonight. But if you are, if you do, and you say, "Man, I don't know if I'm where I should be in Christ," now is the time to make it right. Now is the time to talk to a leader and say, "I don't think I'm where I should be." We're going to go ahead and hit the lights. Ryan and Andrew are going to come up and close us in a song. This song, I love it. You guys may have heard it. It's called Finding Who We Are. And it goes perfectly with what we're talking about tonight. Finding who we are in Christ. Apart from Him, we are nobody. So let's worship. Leaders are going to be around the room. If you need somebody to talk to, go do that. And we'll be out of here in just a few minutes.